Business Forward is brought to you by Canon. Business can be simple.
This is Business Forward with Canon on Money FM, and I'm Catherine Robert. We're exploring the SME sector here in Singapore because 99% of businesses here are SMEs. The sector also employs 70% of our workforce and powers half our economy. We chat with business owners, leaders, industry experts, and academics to get their insight. And today we discuss the importance of productivity and what businesses can do to increase productivity. Dr. Lo Lee Yong is founder of CEO and MHC Asia Group, a company which simplifies healthcare and connects the stakeholders in the healthcare delivery chain. Dr. Lo will explain that to us. Dr. Lo is also a speaker at this year's Canon Mitigating Business Uncertainty Seminar on May the 17th and 18th. We'll give you registration details in just a moment. Welcome to the show, Dr. Lo.
Yes. Good morning.
Briefly explain to us what MHC Asia Group does.
Well, MHC is a healthcare company, health tech company that provides a cashless platform for employees, corporate employees and individuals to enjoy cashless outpatient visit in Singapore, Malaysia and Hong Kong.
Okay. Tell us how you use information technology and big data analytics for example, to increase efficiency.
Well, when you provide this cashless platform to link up doctors, providers with patients and employers, as well as the insurers, naturally you end up with a lot of data as a byproduct of your business process. So with this, we actually gathered lots of business intelligence and provide analytics for the payer, like the HR, the insurer, as well as, of course, the patients, so they know which are the cost-effective, cost-efficient doctors and the doctors who are able to provide the service for them.
Okay, what about ensuring transparency and lowering costs to boost productivity?
Well, healthcare is a very fragmented business where the doctors basically can advise patients to go for certain procedures. And sometimes it's not by the patient's choice. Of course, the patient's for sick, they're going to see the doctors. So what we do is we provide this data to our processes that we gather from the process, and we provide this in the form of business intelligence analytics for the especially the payer. And this sort of give them guidance on which are the cost-effective doctors. And of course, during the claim processes, of course, there are mistakes made. You know, sometimes nurses submit wrong claims and so on. We gather all this and we actually detect sometimes even abnormal claims, and we try to recover this for the payer. For example, in Malaysia, in JB, we actually have a Malaysian GP who claimed over $86,000 worth of a very expensive painkiller called Celebrex.
Okay.
It's very abnormal because, you know, nobody does that, especially when you claim $86,000 when the whole group of 1,200 clinics in Singapore doesn't do that for the period. So what we do is we recover this money because we also knew that the doctors didn't stock this in his inventory. So this is some of this kind of transparency that we provide. Because in Singapore, we have a highest amount that we claimed back was about $168,000.
Oh, what was that for?
From a specialist. And our big data basically flagged this out, and we investigated. We went to the specialist and said, hey, pay up, you know. So we provide this kind of accountability to our payer and our patients to make sure that every claim submitted to our systems is accountable, is transparent, and really what you can trust.
Okay. Productivity seems the holy grail for many businesses as it measures the performance of an organization. What does productivity look like in the healthcare sector? It's not a sector we generally use profits as measures of success, though.
I think in healthcare, we talk about safety, we talk about wellness and well-being of the patients. So productivity, in the sense, is an abnormal word. You know, you don't rush and try to make the most profits at the expense of patient. You can't do that. But I think we should replace it with the word called cost containment, cost efficiency, cost effectiveness, and transparency. So, of course, if you talk about really true productivity from a clinic point of view, you are looking at it, let's say, from a doctor. Then there are lots of processes that should be made more efficient, such as the way they order drugs, where they make a call to all the various distributors. So MHC provide an app called ProcureDrug app, where they can just click and send 24/7, don't have to do it during office hour. And we provide clinic management systems and appointment systems and so on. And most important, if a doctor is in our panel, we provide this platform where they can bill thousands and 10,000 of corporate clients without having to do all the work. Of course, from the employer, HR and insurance point of view, they don't have to manage 1,000 clinics, you know. Yeah. And MHC does this for them. They only need to issue one check and they can deal with 1,000 clinics.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's very convenient. We have the apps to help them find where are the cost-effective clinics, where are these clinics located, the opening hours, and so on. From the patient's point of view, it's a matter of convenience. So we provide these apps where they can they know exactly where are the clinics located that they can visit without having to pay cash. And the patients traditionally in the past used to have to sort of collect a receipt and submit to the HR for reimbursement. This whole process is very tedious. A lot of paperwork that the HR patients have to do. So, and of course, despite that, they can't even get all the information right. You know, the doctors used to write encryption.
Oh, wow.
They can't even decipher the diagnosis. So we remove all this paperwork, and through the process of capturing this information and providing the cashless platform, HR are now empowered with a business intelligent analytic, which is very important, and this will ultimately translate to sort of helping the employee stay healthy, you know, stay well, and we sort of kind of contain the cost for them as well.
What are the challenges MHC has had to overcome with regard to productivity?
In order to have this cashless platform to meet the requirements of all the insurance and different HR requirements, you know, human resource managers have a creative way of coming up with all kind of employee benefits programs in order to attract employees, you know, to stay at the companies. And in the process, it sort of requires you to build systems that are very flexible, customizable. So when you build a system that is customizable, flexible, and becomes so big, naturally there's you end up with a lot of IT resources. And with so much IT resources and sitting on so much data, the risk will be, you know, data leakages. Cybersecurity will be a big challenge, especially nowadays. PDPA will be an issue that we have to deal with. So these are all the challenges that we as a SME will have to deal with.
What are some of the current challenges MHC faces in this disruptive environment?
I think the challenges that MHC face will be quite similar to most SME. The business world is evolving very fast. Technology is advancing extremely fast. Digital transformation is at a pace that I would say I started this company for 24 years. I suddenly felt like I'm breathless. I found myself having to catch up with, you know, a chatbot and blockchain technology, artificial intelligence. You know, I found myself having to educate myself, you know, at a very fast pace because things are moving just extremely fast.
Everything's just going super speed motion.
Yeah. In the past, I know nothing about technology, so I started learning about all the IT stuff, you know, database and so on, web system. Now I found myself having to go in this kind of area, which are totally new, you know, including having to pick up codings as well. You know, as part of my job as a CEO. You know, SME CEO, you basically have to handle everything, finance, marketing, sales. And now you have to handle IT, cybersecurity, PDPA. You have to know a bit of coding so you know what your IT guys are doing and so on. So it's really very challenging. So we're in a situation where we're trying to attract talents. Of course, talents in Singapore, as a small country, is difficult to find. And to find talents that have integrity, that will stick with you with faithfulness, and that's really a big challenge that I find myself encountering.
What advice do you have for other businesses as they navigate the volatile business environment and seek to increase productivity in the face of disruption and challenges?
I think at the end of it, business still boils down to the fundamental. I mean, you think things can move very fast. There's a lot of hype going on about AI, about chatbot and blockchain and so on. And right now, there are lots of people who plunge into this app business. There are lots of doctors' apps, you know, clinic apps and so on. They're just creating a lot of hype, almost like a dot-com, where you see an app, a teleconsultation app, but hardly any business, hardly any revenue, but they're valuing themselves at like 10 million, 20 million, going out to get Series A, Series B funding. It's all hype, which I think will burst. So I think for entrepreneurs, I think you still have to focus on the fundamental. Look at your revenue model. Look at the you know, how you're going to derive revenue, provide the service. And ultimately, when the dust settles, then you will become the winner.
I understand you've written a book entitled I Dare to Dream. What motivated you?
Well, I came from Kampong, and my mother wanted me to be a teacher, but I secretly aspired to be a doctor. It was impossible dreams, but unfortunately, without any guidance, I went to the wrong school. I went to a gangster school, a technical school that don't teach bio. So when you go to a wrong school, you can't possibly achieve your dream of ambition of becoming a doctor. So I overcome a lot of odds. My teacher told me I was about I'm doomed to fail my English about 2 weeks before my O-level exam. My bio teacher told our school that we have no hope because there are only 5 bio students. So I proved them wrong, and I finally became a doctor. I thought I wrote this book basically to inspire students who are struggling. You know, our school system, you know, they kind of recognize the distinction kid. They want to encourage them to do well, but the poorer students, you know, the one with weaker students like myself, when I finally got a C5 for my English, nobody clapped, nobody cheered me up, you know. Nobody congratulate me. But when you got a distinction, when you're supposed to be a distinction kid, everybody, wow, you know, that great guy and so on. So I wrote this book to tell the students that, look, yeah, the teacher may not recognize what you're doing, but don't worry. I've done this, I've taken this route because I dare to dream to be a doctor against all odds. So can you? It also covered a bit about my story of building MHC, how I ultimately, you know, overcome my fear of public speaking. Because my teacher told me I'm going to fail my English. So I went through life and business world struggling with public speaking, worrying about, you know, whether I can speak in public and so on. So I overcome quite a lot of these things. And I thought I could just encourage those people who want to plunge into business as well. And this is only the first book. The next one should be coming. It's called I Dare to Dream Big.
Oh, wow. This is interesting. You said that businesses should touch lives at one of the Canon Think Big events. Tell us what you mean.
A lot of people went into business thinking that they can make big money. And I think most businessmen aspire to ultimately go for IPO. I think if you just aspire to go IPO, then you're just shortchanging your dream. I personally feel that business is actually a gift, a calling, a God-given gift where you are supposed to do something that impact society, impact humanity with it. Just like Steve Jobs, you know, started this iPhone, and it sort of impact the way we run our lives and so on. And I think if you have the gift and you ultimately make money, I think you should help the needy, starting with your own employees. And for MHC, we help our employees. We have one lady who was paralyzed because of a road traffic accident in Malaysia. We continue to support her even after she was injured and became paralyzed, bedridden, wheelchair ridden actually subsequently. And we donate to a medical school bursary to help medical students, because in the past I used to receive medical bursary for my studies. It was tough, so I thought we would give back. In a more impactful world, we support about 2,000 children in Sabah through 24 Kampung School. These are actually people in the jungle and they have no hope. So we provide this education, this gift of education to them. And in Iloilo, we have 15 hectares of land. We help poor farmers with livelihood projects, teach them how to make shampoo, soaps, grow organic rice. So, and in Laguna in Philippines, we have another work where we help poor children by giving them music instruments, guitar, violins, flutes, and so on. And they can, through music, get back to college. And it's very touching when you see life being changed. For example, in Sabah, we have one girl who, when first came to Sabah, they asked her, what do you aspire to be? She said, I'll aspire just to be a domestic servant one day. But after 2 years in the Kampung School, she said, well, now I aspire to be a lawyer. And, you know, when she said that, all the teachers cried. And this whole project started because Dr. Paul Chu, the founder of this organization called Golden Kid, which we are supporting, he was first called to a mortuary to identify a dead body. It was a body of a Muslim girl who basically escaped from Mindanao. And when she was in Mindanao, escaped from Mindanao to Sabah. When she was in Sabah forest, she thought she could make some living, a daily living from washing clothing. So she went to a rich man's house, and unknown to her, she was raped subsequently. It was just a trap to take advantage of her. She was raped and she was murdered. So her body was thrown into the slum. So Dr. Potsu was asked to identify the body, and when she saw the body, he sort of cried and said, this must never happen again. You know, and the only way to prevent that from happening again is to make sure that the children are given a chance for education, and from education you get a livelihood. And from then, they deliver them out of poverty. So I was inspired by Dr. Paul Chu's sharing. So that's why MHC decided to support this CSR called GoDecade.
We've been chatting with Dr. Lo Lee Yong, founder and CEO of MHC Asia Group, a company which simplifies healthcare and connects the stakeholders in the healthcare delivery chain. He's also a speaker at this year's Canon Mitigating Business Uncertainties Seminar on May the 17th and 18th. Go to thinkbig1.sbhevents.com to find out more. I'm Catherine Robert. This has been Business Forward with Kenan on Money FM 89.3.